Rev up your engines! Jeeps, a quintessential American vehicle. They don't make them like they used to, but back in 86 when this one was made, they were making them pretty good. This isn't a Fiat Jeep or a Stellantis Jeep. Now, if you're ever looking to buy one, realize a lot of times the original body's all right away. So if you check this one out, fiberglass. This is all fiberglass. You can see the door's gone, but when it was here, it was re-fiberglassed on. It's all fiberglass. And this one has a little bitty back seat. They took the doors off because they turned it into a real military type Jeep. Now, like the original general purpose vehicles the Army made for World War II, this is a pretty basic, simple machine that anyone can work on. Well, as long as it's got a little bit of strength, because the whole front end goes up in the air. And leans on a windshield. Talk about working space. You can get right in the engine and work on anything. Now the owner decided to soup this up a little, put a fancier ignition system on it. It's pretty simple and easy to work on. There's the fuel pump, okay? It's a mechanical fuel pump. Do you have to drop the gas tank to change it? No. It's right here in the open. Simple fix. Easy to get to. The alternator, the water pump. The power steering, simple belt-driven technology that works to this day. It's got a little bitty carburetor on it. Easy to work on brake system, power booster, master cylinder, and the carburetor itself, easy to adjust. A screw here for the air screw, and another screw for the idle speed. You don't need a master's degree in electronics to work on this thing, which is why people love them. With this old 86, it's been modified up the wazoo. It's got the fiberglass tub, LED lights, a nice winch. See from history, it's simple. The front wheel drive axle, solid steel. You got your lockers here to turn them on and off. This has oversized shocks on it. Fancy aftermarket. Nice aluminum radiator instead of that plastic crap they use these days. A simple three-wire alternator. 1, 2, 3 wires. Very simple. And a pretty much indestructible straight six-cylinder engine. Now, of course, the original Army Jeeps had little bitty four-cylinder engines. Didn't have all that much power. The six is a pretty good choice. They got enough power. They can last forever. They're really built quite well. You really don't want a V8 in one of these things. It is too much power. For this small vehicle, they will flip over. They're not made for high speed. The original Jeep was only 60 horsepower in World War II. This baby's about 190 horsepower. Big difference. Plenty enough for this vehicle. Now, granted, this 6 has been souped up internally. Originally, it was more like 124 horsepower, but still, that's a lot more than the original Jeep had, right? They're not made for speed. They're made for going anywhere. You could push an original military Jeep a little over 60 miles an hour, but it was shake, rattling, and rolling. Now, this speedometer goes up to 90 miles an hour, but the Jeep won't. Unless you're going down a real big hill. They're not made for much over 80, and even then, I wouldn't take this thing over 80. Things are worn. Steering's a little bit wobbly. It's a fun toy for taking out in the country. It's not something for highway high-speed racing, I'll tell you that. It's made for simple repairs. Look at the suspension. Leaf spring, right? These babies are going to be bouncing all over the place. Solid front axle. Strong, right? They don't ride all that well, though. And the rear suspension's the same. It's got more leaves on it, but these things are rough riding machines. They're made to tackle off-road challenges. I mean, really, it doesn't even have doors on it. Now, here's what the doors, he's taking them off. The doors are more like cages that go in the side. So let's start this old girl up. Starts right up. Now, they're definitely not the quietest of vehicles. Car steering pump's wobbling like mad. That's going to need a replacement soon. But, I mean, as long as body's rotten, you're placed with fiberglass, that's not going to rust anymore. It's got that little rumbly six-cylinder engine noise. And speaking of the six-cylinder engine, these things are virtually bulletproof if you take care of them. They'll easily go 300,000 miles if you change the oil regularly. They are really strong built cast iron block engines. Now, many of the modern ones have gotten away from the base of the real Jeeps and they're just SUVs. And hey, unfortunately for Jeep, a lot of them have failed. They're not making the Cherokees anymore because the Jeep Cherokees, basically being SUVs, they couldn't compete with all the other SUVs, and they're shutting the plant down in the United States where they build the things. They should have stayed to their roots and made good, solid vehicles that are a hoot to drive around and simple to fix. And of course, Fiat started to destroy the brand name when they started selling those Jeep Renegades of the song Renegade, Renegade. I've had people buy those things, the engines, the trannies will blow up when they got 40, 50,000 miles on them. They're rolling piles of junk. I can guarantee you, you aren't going to find any 37-year-old Jeep Renegades rolling down the road like this. They haven't been making them all that long, but I guarantee you, 30-something years from now, you're not going to see too many, if any, Renegades going down the road. When these old Jeeps, you can just keep fixing them and driving them. They aren't expensive to repair. You can modify them to your heart's content. I mean, look at this. You can play around with them to your heart's content. And these LED setups, hey, they're all made in China. They don't cost that much money. I would have loved to have one of these cool-looking things when I was a kid. I'm even thinking about one now, although the wife would kill me. She said, you need another vehicle like you need a hole in the head. Well, I got a hole in my head now and a tooth. Maybe it'll go with that. Now, you might notice there's a bunch of crap on the hood. It's tree sap. Now, on a normal vehicle, people would be mad as heck that they got tree sap and ruined their vehicle. But on a Jeep, it's just an added patina showing that it goes off-road. It parks under trees. I'm gonna take old Gordo for a spin. No backup camera on this baby. No electronic four-wheel drive either. It's totally mechanical. Less things to break. And away we go. Drives like a truck, rides like a truck. But you can have fun like in a truck. Kind of like being on a motorcycle. Since it doesn't have doors. There goes a newer one. Well, this is an army town after all. And yeah, you're gonna be bouncing up and down. That's part of the fun of these Jeeps. Bouncing all over the place. And the power brakes still work. Look at that. Turns around relatively quickly. It's got a decent turning radius to it. Really is a hoot driving one of these things around. Hey, look out for the trees. And you can definitely park it off-road here in the mud. They like parking in the mud. So you wanna have fun in a Jeep, hey? Have some cheap fun. In an old school Jeep. And you won't care if you get bird poop or tree sap all over it. It's still gonna be running down the road and have a lot of fun. And sure, a lot of them are old rust buckets, but somebody put a fiberglass kit on it, no more worrying about rust. And no worrying about getting stuck either. These are real winches to pull things out in a real world, not some toy. Ironic though, isn't it? Because the whole thing is a giant toy. Went from military vehicle to toy. Well, maybe that's our society these days. And here's some bonus questions and answers. Well, I just watched a YouTube video of a guy's got an F-150 Lightning with the extended range battery, and he drove like from Vermont 210 miles south. He wanted to see if he could make it. Now, he did make it with 3 miles to spare. Now, that's cutting it close, right? He had to follow all the crap-a-roo directions that they say. He parked it in his garage, right? Parked it in a heated garage and set it up to be preconditioned by the time he was leaving. There's a special setup you got to do that, right? Prepare your car. What's this, a moon landing? You're preparing for a trip to the moon. You're driving your truck, right? Now, he did make it. But of course, think of if you're actually using one of these to travel around in, right? You're on a hotel most of the time or a motel. You can't park it in the heated area. You can't plug it in at most places. They don't have chargers there. You had it plugged in at your house, right? What happens once you leave your house? You're traveling around the country, you're not going to be able to precondition it, plugged in, and have it in a heated garage. That's not going to happen, you know. How about the way back? You know, you're not going to be going 210 miles if you don't precondition it. Now, it wasn't freezing cold. It was like 17, so it wasn't ultra cold, but it wasn't a windy day. If it had been a windy day and he's going against the wind, he admitted he would have never made it. Now, if your trips are conditioned upon the temperature outside, which way the wind is blowing, whether you can park your truck in a heated garage and precondition it or not, I don't think I'd want to own one of these things if I'm traveling long distances. Americans like vehicles because they're convenient. They're not going to go into a total inconvenience thing. Sure, there's a couple of knuckleheads out there. Maybe there's hundreds of thousands of them that will try this. They've been duped into modern technology saving them, and they'll do whatever the directions say, right? I mean, Ford came up with something like 10 steps to make your range go longer. I mean, come on now. The average person gets in their car and drives. They're not going to be doing all this crap. And if they are driving long distance, hey, great. They can precondition, have it plugged in the heated garage at home. If they have a heated garage, many people don't, right? Once you get on the road, all bets are off then, right? And this was only a 210-mile trip. They're trying to prove that, oh, yes, it works like I went 210 miles. Whoop-dee-doo, I can go 210 miles on a motorcycle, keep filling it up and going forever. And it's only got a 4-gallon gasoline tank in it. The infrastructure's not there. It just isn't. And the vehicles aren't up to it either, especially in the winter. So if you never want to miss another one of my new car repair videos, remember to ring that bell.